My friends, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. The words again, a portion of the words from our Old Testament reading, from Genesis, the third chapter, the fall into sin, when God speaks the curse to the serpent. And he says in the 15th verse, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, as kids, there was a time when we thought that it would be a good idea to have goldfish. And I'm not really sure why. No offense to anyone who likes goldfish, but just wasn't our thing as it turned out. I mean, you can't pet them. You can't take them for a walk or cuddle with them, you know. So, but anyway, we thought it would be a good idea at the time, and we got an aquarium and all that blue gravel stuff that goes at the bottom of the aquarium, and a coral feature and fish food and the filters and all. But one thing we didn't anticipate that we might need would be a cover for the aquarium. We'd never had fish before, and no one really told us that we might need that. And it was just another expense that we thought, you know, we could get along without that. It didn't take long, though, to learn why you should probably cover your aquarium when one morning we discovered, to our horror, that one of our little fishies had jumped out of the aquarium to its death on the floor of what we called our playroom. Now, of course, you know, had we been there when it jumped, we would have just scooped it right back up and put it back in the water and saved its life. But for this fish, its life was down the toilet, literally. It was too late. And I suppose, you know, if something like that were to happen these days, a kid would get on Google and, you know, Google, why do fish jump out of their aquariums? And whatever the answer is, they would fix the problem. I didn't have that when I was a boy. And I just kind of thought to myself, well, that was a dumb fish, you know, to do such a thing to itself. And I wonder why it jumped. And it occurred to me that, you know, maybe there was something outside of its aquarium that it thought it, you know, wanted, that it thought would make its life better. Maybe, I don't know, what does a goldfish want out there? Maybe a bug or something? Or maybe it saw its own reflection in the glass and thought it was another fish out there and wanted to be with that fish? And is that why it jumped? It thought that there was something out there that would make its life better, when in fact, jumping would end up being its own demise and its death. You know, that's why Satan tempts you. Sin is not an end in itself. For Satan, sin is just the means to the end. The end goal being your death. As Jesus said of him, he comes to kill. And by death, we're not just talking here about the death of the body, which is bad enough. Just yesterday, we lost our brother Daryl Bachelman to that kind of death. But Satan has something even more deadly in mind for you. The death of the spirit. The death of separation from the Lord of life. A death that never, ever ends. That's what he's really after. To rob you of life with the God who made you and who loves you and who wants fellowship with you. It's Satan's way of inflicting pain on God in the only way that he can, by destroying what God loves most. And what does God love more than you? To kill you is to kill part of God's own heart. And that pains the heart of God. That's his revenge against God for having been cast out of heaven eternally. But he can't kill you directly. As with Job, there are certain limitations as to what he can do. He is not omnipotent. But what he can do is to try to get you to jump. to jump to your own death far away from the Lord. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Like we had prepared that wonderful aquarium for our fish, God prepared this beautiful creation for our first parents and for all of their offspring to enjoy. It was the best life. And not just because the weather and the crops were great, or because marriage and work were pure delight. It was the best life because it was life with God, in fellowship with God. That's the way it was supposed to be. And then Satan dangled something in front of our first parents that they thought they wanted, something they thought was going to make life even better, and they jumped to their deaths, died to righteousness, died to God. And that is why, and that's how Satan still tempts us today. He can't kill you. He can't force you to do anything. You know, the devil made me do it. That's just a pitiful excuse. He did not shove the fruit down Eve's throat and make her eat it. And he didn't make me do what I did. He just dangles something in front of us, like he did Adam and Eve. Something that we think we want. Something we think is going to make life better for us. And like dumb fish, we jump to our own death and demise. So for some people, jumping is going to look like rebellion against their parents or other authorities, or like teachers or pastors. You know, what do those old-fashioned, backward, worrywart relics know about me or about being a youth in the world today? Life would be so much better without all their dumb rules and their restrictions. Jump, jump. Or maybe for you it's a thirst for revenge. Tit for tat. Eye for an eye. No way will I ever forgive what they did. Or no way will I ever let this go. Life will be better only when I figure out a way to make them pay. Put the hurt to them. Punish them. Or at the very least, just get them out of my life altogether. Jump, jump. Of course, there's the ever popular sexual sins. Oh boy, people are jumping after that one, aren't they? Can't be wrong if it feels so right. Those old uptight rules about sexuality really sap the pleasure out of life. Nobody waits for marriage anymore. Nobody stays married anymore. Life is better when you're gratifying your desires and hooking up and playing the field. Jump, jump. Or stuff. Oh, that's a big one. Stuff. More stuff. Bigger stuff. Better stuff. The best life consists in the abundance of wealth and really nice stuff. Jump, jump. There is so much that we're always jumping after, thinking that's what we want. That's what's going to make life better. But it's a lie. And it leads to death. Maybe you heard the news this past week about Thomas H. Lee, multi-billionaire, who was once crowned by the media as, quote, the envy of Wall Street. He was so rich, he made other billionaires jealous. Best of everything that this world has to offer. Homes and estates that were palatial and practically little paradises on earth. The man last Thursday killed himself. And you wonder, how can that be? I mean, if Satan were to dangle his life in front of us and say, just jump and you can have it, we'd be jumping. Who wouldn't want a life like that? But when Satan has you jumping, it's always a lie. He will promise you Whatever it takes. He will promise you a better life like he did for Adam and Eve. He will promise you the world like he did Jesus. But what he doesn't tell you is that you will be jumping to your death because you're jumping away from God. You're jumping away from fellowship with God, his life, his treasures. Dumb fish. But here's the good news. From Genesis, the third chapter, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" You know, when we were kids and our fish jumped out of the aquarium, we weren't there to save it. But when our first parents jumped, and all of their progeny with them, God was right there to scoop them and to scoop us up and to put us back in the water. Not back in the garden, but back to that only place where there truly is life. Back to fellowship with God himself in a mended, reconciled relationship. Reconciliation that came, first of all, as a promise. You heard the promise that the seed of Eve would one day crush the serpent's head. A descendant of the woman will destroy the destroyer. No details how exactly that was going to happen, but that was enough. Just that promise was enough to create faith, to restore fellowship, and to give faith something solid to hold on to. Until the day when that promise would be fulfilled. And then finally came the fulfillment. A Savior to scoop us up and to save us from all of our death jumps. And of course, you know, Satan does what he does. Tried his best. We read it this morning in the gospel reading. Tried his best to get Jesus to jump like all of us do. And in the wilderness temptation, he dangled out there in front of Jesus all the things that we would normally jump at. Free food, fame and glory and power and wealth, all the things that you would think would make life better. Taking care of yourself first. Jump, jump. Taking matters into your own hands rather than trusting God. Jump, jump. Taking your own preferred path because it's easier than the path that God has laid out. Jump, jump. Oh, he has us jumping all over the place for everything. But for Jesus, there would be no jumping out of God's word or out of his promises. Not in the wilderness and not even on the cross. Dying there, In unbelievable agony for our sins. It must have looked for all the world like the words and the promises of God were worthless and weak and null and void. And yet even then, Jesus refused to jump. And his tormentors told him to jump. They said, "Come down from the cross and save yourself." And you know, he could have. That must have been a huge temptation for him to stop the pain and the suffering. But he would not do it because he trusted that true life is in the Word and in the promise of God. He believed and he stood his ground in the promises of God, even in the darkest hour. And so he lives, even though he dies. And true to his word, the Father scooped up his Son, raised him up on the third day, so that, as St. Paul writes in our epistle today, as one trespass, Adam's jump, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, Christ's refusal to jump, one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Life for all men. Because it's life restored by God to fellowship with God. Because he who refused to jump is alive to scoop up every penitent sinner and put you back in the water of your baptism, to put you back in the water of your forgiveness, in the water of your adoption, in the water of your life. And every time we jump in search of happiness or fulfillment or pleasure or some other empty promise of Satan, we find ourselves flopping around on the floor, dying and drying out. Comes the Savior in his merciful love to scoop us up, put us back in the water, and we live again. And hopefully, we're wising up as well. You know, we ought not be dumb fish forever, but we ought to be learning that jumping out of the water is never a good idea. Satan is always going to leave you high and dry and gasping and floundering and dying. But having been scooped up and saved, you know, we ought to be doing what Christ did, arming ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's what you're doing here today by being in worship. You are arming yourself with the Word of God. It's what you do when you come to Bible study or you have a devotion at home or send the kids to Sunday school. We are arming ourselves with the Word of God so that we can go to war against our enemy and say to him, when he dangles something in front of us, to say to him, I will not jump. I am staying right where I am, in the Lord, in his Word, in the water of my baptism, where there is life. I have wised up to you, Satan. I am not so soon enticed. That's what we sing in that one hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. We say to him, Satan, I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might, Satan, it's come unraveled. And now against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. God unites with me. And now, as we just sang in this hymn, now there's new life is ours, new strength, new powers to say, no, I'm not going to jump because there's life back in the water. And that's where I'm staying. That's where I'm staying. Let's pray. Oh God, you justify the ungodly, and you desire not the death of the sinner. Graciously assist us by your heavenly aid, and evermore shield us with your protection, that no temptation may ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ and in your baptism unto life everlasting. Amen.